Okay, so it is spring. It's April right now. So April, in fact, that I live in Michigan and I was at a baseball game being played by people who are actually getting paid. So that means the amusement parks are opening across America if they haven't already. And we're going to discuss that today, the seasonal parks, which get no play. Joining me, as it turns out, people that will be on the same exact trip in about 10 days' time. First person from Twitter, Andrew Hyde. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to, like you said, talk some regional parks. I feel like they don't get much love. Most of the Twitter universe is all about Disney, Universal Disney, and then maybe a little SeaWorld. So it's good to kind of give some love to some of these lesser-known parks.
Speaking of SeaWorld, currently at SeaWorld right now. Mr. Jonathan Himes, a guy that I've known for a long time. Do you even have a Twitter handle? I'm guessing no.
Nope.
Okay, you're not really missing out on much, honestly. everyone just sits around and complains about how Tower of Terror got redone.
You know what? I don't mind that California's is getting redone as long as they don't touch ours down here. I'm happy about that.
I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to say. And like I said, it's hilarious to me because I was like, oh, Andrew, aren't you going to Mexico? And Andrew's like, yeah, I'm going to Mexico. I'm going on the East trip. And I'm like, oh, you're going on the East trip too, John. So both of you guys will be on vacation with one another, even though you don't know each other yet. But now you do.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it. And that's one of the best things about taking these trips, as always, is meeting all the new people. You know, back in 2002 on the European Coaster Odyssey, that's where we met.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, I don't want to remind myself how long ago that was. Or how many gray hairs have appeared on my head in the interim. But here we are, and we're going to talk about the regional amusement theme park scene. I spent way too much time, and this is probably a result of me not having a paid writing gig in addition to my real job. And I basically create a whole list, and you guys saw the list that I showed. Everything that's been put in for the 2017 season. Realistically, a lot of people are looking at it as not the best year ever, and I don't know that I necessarily blame them for feeling that way. There's not a lot of like huge brand new,
but you know what though?
It's generally kind of quality.
Yeah. Well, I actually look at it this year as being a good year because we're getting two wood coasters. Actually, three.
Three. Yeah. Because we got the two GCIs. Yeah. And we've got the Fun Spot coaster, which
I'm in my backyard.
Yeah, it's in your. You are going to be a local to that. I'm assuming you have a Fun Spot season pass or whatever they call it.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm not at all surprised by it. So those three rides are kind of like the biggest rides for the whole year. I mean, we don't have any Rocky Mountain rides that have opened up. Not really any big custom steel rides that got built. I'll start with you, John, because you've done a fair amount of travel. Have you done any of the SNS free spin coasters yet?
I haven't had a chance to do one yet. I will this summer at Con, though.
How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I did the original one. What is it? At Fiesta Texas, the year it opened, so like 2 years ago. I wasn't as big of a fan. I'm more of a traditional kind of roller coaster guy. You know, take me out, let me go up some down some hills, but I'm not big on this new trend of like the compact 4D thing. So I know I'm in the minority here. I thought Green Lantern was actually better than this. I'm not a big, you know, spin you as many times as you can kind of guy. So wasn't impressed from that standpoint, but I definitely see why the parks are adding them. You know, they're a marketing like gold mine.
That really terrifies me that you would say the Green Lantern was better than.
Yeah, Green Lantern and Insane, those are just not fun rides, put it that way.
You know what? I rode Insane and I thought it was fun. And then I've heard that they weight the train somehow on Green Lantern to prevent them from flipping. And my wife and I got the most unbalanced ride ever. It was like both of us on one side and the opposite side was one like 9-year-old child. No more than 80 pounds. And I'm like, we're going to flip so much. And it did this weird thing where it didn't flip, and it was just really uncomfortable and not fun.
Yeah, I don't think I flipped much on, maybe that's why I liked it, because I don't think I flipped maybe more than one or two times on Green Lantern. I don't know if it was just unbalanced or what, but I didn't get much flips to it.
Yeah, I pretty much had the worst coaster experience I've ever had on Insane. So it's the only coaster that's ever made me white out.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really unbalanced because they were letting us do the free RT. Got to the towards the very end of the ride, and I was upside down, and it threw me into the harness. And next thing I know, it was white. I was seeing stars for about 45 minutes after that.
For those out there who have never seen a picture of the Riser, basically, they have a really small footprint. I mean, they're basically they're a straight line, essentially. And the ride, in ways, were vertically based. It doesn't turn left or right. The cars are capable of flipping over, somewhat similar to the four-dimension coasters that Aero and SNS have. They don't have a flat rail. So they have a flat ride feel to them. And I like flat rides, don't get me wrong. I enjoy them. But I was never like a huge fan of the Intamin ones, and but there's three of these opening. We've got New England, Great America, and what's the third one that's opening up?
Over Texas.
Over Texas, that's right. And what I understand too is that the New England ride, well actually it was Great America, was a late change, and it was supposed to go somewhere else.
Mexico, I think.
Yeah,
kind of back to Mexico. I thought because that was one of those surprises where I think everyone, because at that point I was already like signed up for the trip. I was like, oh, 4D cool, Mexico cool, and then all of a sudden at the last minute that things were announced that day, it's like, hey, Great America.
Yeah, and somebody had a picture at like the SNS factory of the board that had like where the rides were going, and it still said Great or like Mexico. It was changed very, very late in the game. And I guess, you know, they probably have similar footprints, so it worked out. But, you know, I still haven't been on one. I'm going to ride two in probably the space of a month between New England and Great America. And I'm just hoping we're not here. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Great America first weekend in May, but the only issue is that's not supposed to open yet, so...
Yeah, it's physically done. They've actually, you know, the fabrication's all done, and I think they may even be testing it, but they're not going to open it till Memorial Day because Six Flags. That's just how Six Flags does things. Speaking of the clones, have either one of you been on the Justice League Dark Rides yet?
I have not. Neither have I.
Oh, my goodness.
But that will change in a week and a half.
we'll
both go check that off our list. The Spanish version.
I think you guys will enjoy it. To me, they're kind of like a slightly lower rent Spider-Man with a shooting element, and they're really good rides. They're really solid attraction.
I've heard really good things. I'm actually, all jokes aside, really excited to finally check one out.
Yeah, I've been able to see the Joker animatronic at IAPA, but that's as close as I've come.
I kind of joke that, you know, this is going to be the best interactive dark ride in Southern California. But none of the Disney theme park people will ever ride it because it's a Magic Mountain. Like, they just will not touch it.
Oh, the you're stirring the pot with that comment right there.
Just a little.
I would say the probably the biggest competition is even out of Disney. I would say it's probably Transformers if you're looking down the road at Universal for best dark ride out there. But
in terms of interactive dark rides, like shooting gun ones.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of competition. Well, there's a decent amount, but it's all like, they're all pretty much made by the same people.
Right. It's too bad Universal out there don't go to Men in Black.
Yeah. No, Men in Black's amazing. I wouldn't put it in the Men in Black category, but it has a nice mix of, you know, like practical animatronic robot type stuff, and then also like really decent displays. I was really surprised.
Right.
And I'm pretty excited. You know, Georgia is going to have two dark rides.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great for them.
I still think that's the best in the whole chain as far as Six Flags go. But I think Fiesta Texas is right there anymore.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that's probably a pretty fair thing. And I think adding a second dark ride over there, it only kind of enforces it.
Yeah. Well, plus you have Mindbender. That's all we need to talk about.
Mindbender, they have an awesome B&M Hyper, one of the best ones. Batman, yeah. Skyride. There's a lot of good stuff at that park. A lot of good stuff. Kind of tailing away a little bit. Cedar Fair also has a lot of very similar rides coming this year, but oddly enough, they're all year. We get a bunch of Troikas, and there's Hus Condor going into Worlds of Fun. Two top scans, one of which is used. That's going to be Airwind. Anybody have any thoughts about them going into the
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last.
What do you guys think about like Cedar Fair buying a bunch of used rides? I mean, it seems like a very strange thing for a major theme.
I like it, actually. I like bringing in a lot of traditional classic flat rides. You know, getting things at a discounted price and just filling in some more spaces. You know, because the busier these parks have been getting, I think that's going to help offset some of those lines you're starting to get at some of those parks.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and go, I think Cedar Fair, you know, I think most of the major companies actually have been burned pretty bad with some of these new high-tech rides. You know, you look at a lot of rides over the last few years that just haven't worked or tons of delays. So I think they probably look at it and go, hey, these rides are still holding up after 20 years or whatnot. You know, they're classic rides and, you know, they're not super complicated. We can put them in and we know at least they'll run versus maybe buying the hottest new trend. And then all I have to say is I really hope the trend continues. Here's my pipe dream for Cedar Fair is that, you know, Olympia Looping's been rumored to be on the for sale block for a while. I think it would be really cool if they bought Olympia Looping in the same vein they're buying all these rides and then put it at one park each year. So for the next like 7 or 8 years, it's, you know, it sits in the parking lot of a different Cedar Fair park each summer.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'd love to see that. Plus, I'd love to see Baron Curves. That's the one.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I want to see them show up.
I'm fully on board with all of these ideas. I will also take Eurostar. I know Eurostar is supposed to be terrible now, but you know, it's better in a parking lot at Worlds of Fun or Michigan's Adventure than it would be rotting in a field in Russia.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Michigan Adventure would be a great place for it.
Yeah, no, it'd be an awesome place. Well, now you've sold me on this idea of buying the giant used portable coasters from Europe. This reminds me, I don't know if either of you heard, but Holland Blitz running in Prater this year. So I don't know if they're taking it off the road also. That concerns me a little bit, but looks like it's going to spend the summer there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think if Cedar Fair were to buy one of those rides, they could do the same thing here. That's what I'm saying. You plop it down in the parking lot, and you get tons of free press out of, hey, this famous roller coaster from Germany that used to be at Oktoberfest and all these other festivals is now here for a limited time. You know, come ride it for the next month or two or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like the Batman backwards rotation.
Yeah, exactly.
Except infinitely better. Like, so much better, in fact. Or like virtual reality on Iron Dragon. Like, you know, to have the replacement for that be Olympia Looping is such a dramatically better idea. I can barely even express how much I would be happy with that.
Yeah, I have a lot of issues with VR, and I'm just going to leave them there.
Should we talk about some of the VR items that are going in, such as the ones that you'll be experiencing in just 2 weeks' time?
This makes me leery because I had such a really bad experience at Magic Mountain with Revolution that going down here and being on Medusa, you know, I hope during our ERT we get a chance that everybody can ride it without doing the VR because the load times are horrible. Not all of them work. They don't fill in all the seats. It was just a nightmare.
I actually did VR the other night at Fun Spot. I did it once in Japan last year, and then second time I ever did it was just 2 nights ago at Fun Spot. And I think that was cool. I think that was a good example of like putting on a smaller ride, you know, one that, you know, is not going to be the main attraction versus some of these parks where they're putting on is their key ride and, you know, killing the capacity.
Yeah, because Magic Mountain, they're running two trains and they were only filling 4 seats at a time because they will. The rest of the trains were going empty and there was a 2-hour wait. and they wouldn't let anybody that wanted to fill in the seats fill them in. You had to wait in the line. So if people wanted to VR in front of you, you had to wait. I guess they used to have a single rider line, but they got rid of it because people were complaining that they were getting on before the virtual reality people. So it was a real cluster the day I went.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
didn't get a chance to get my lab bar on the Revolution ride.
Oh.
That sucks. That's such a tragedy. After all these years.
Right.
And it gets ruined because the headsets. Yeah, I think the idea of putting on the huge rides like Medusa, Skyrocket at Kennywood is going to have virtual reality headsets this year. It's like, why? Why do we have to go with those?
Well, I mean, I think the craziest example, again, not to keep bringing it around to Mexico here, but, you know, Medusa, you know, like we're kind of saying, like, that's a ride where it's brand new, you know, it's only a couple years old. So I'm kind of curious why they put it on Medusa for VR versus, you know, some of the other older rides at Mexico Park.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would honestly be better served on the Dark Knight mouse ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that seems like a perfect application for it because you're in a box.
Right.
You just turn off all the stunts or whatever that you've got in there, and that would totally work. It would make sense. But for Medusa, which is also going to be a ride with serious forces.
Right.
And you strap something in your head, like, I don't know, man. That seems like a bad idea.
Well, the thing is I go to an amusement park for reality. I don't go for virtual reality. I like being on the coaster, seeing where I'm going, the wind, you know. That's an experience. And as soon as I start putting those on, that takes away from what I came here for.
Yeah, no, I think that's entirely reasonable. And it's not like that's like a new feeling. Like a lot of people feel that way, too. I get the rationale as to why they would want to do the virtual reality coasters, but it just seems so, especially with the rides that are outdoors, it just seems so out of place. Like another ride like Galactica, which used to be air at Alton Towers. That ride seems like a horrible choice for it because it was intended to make you feel like you're just like flying and in the air, and now you're just going to make people feel like they're, I don't know, I'm lost on it.
I mean, it's no different than a simulator. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's just a much more extreme simulator bed, essentially.
Or exactly.
Kind of going away from that just a little bit, there are some steel coasters going in this, primarily the northeastern U.S. New Jersey will finally see two new ones. You're going to get a new Eurofighter over at Casino. And then a ride that I think is very interesting looking, but I don't know if it's actually going to function since this has been the consistent issue with it, is Gale Force over at Playland, both on the Jersey Shore. And then Dutch Wonderland is getting this huge SNS suspended coaster thing, which it seems like there's been a rush of those rides being built. There's several. There's one, I think, in Germany that's been built this year.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old Aero suspended, but... It's like, I don't know, did you ride Vampire at Chessington?
Which one?
Did you ride Vampire at Chessington?
Yes, I did.
See, and you wrote it after the, obviously, you wrote probably like...
No, I actually wrote it before they got rid of the bat cars.
Oh, man. Okay. Because I feel like...
I wrote it the last year they had the regular cars on it.
See, I wrote it when they had the new cars the next year, which, of course, the front row wasn't even open. They screwed up the clearances. And I remember being like, this feels way more tame and less interesting without the swing.
Right.
And I kind of feel like with some of these rides, like Freedom Flyer is okay, but it doesn't do the same things as the Aero rides. I'm not sure that I really care about these rides that much. I hate to say it, but I just feel like they're...
Nope. Yeah. I mean, the one at Dresden at Grinnelland, and the one that's opening at Jurs, the one at Grinnelland's really good. Yeah, the one that's opening at Jurs looks great.
Yeah, Jurs Surmelin. That's the one that's huge. Yeah, Kvasten's pretty good. Well, it's also a Grinnelland, so I feel like when you're at Grinnelland, I automatically add a couple points onto it because it's out of begin with. It's not like a fireball. It's themed to witches. If you go on a Friday night, you can see a concert when you ride it. I mean, there's so many good things about it.
Oh yeah, and you're almost hitting a million things because everything's so packed into that place.
Yeah, but the Jurors one, like I said, you know, maybe it's going to be really good, but you know, I feel like without the swinging motion, like it loses something in translation for me. I just at that point, it's like if you're going to build a 90-foot tall coaster that has, you know, floorless seats, inverted seating, like why not just put inversion?
Yeah. Just well, there's the one park in Japan that built the copy of it, the family version. On the B&M inverted, that cost a pretty penny for a family coaster.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was one of the Happy Valley parks or something, right?
It was China. That's right, China.
Yeah. No, I know it's one of like the decent companies out there. I just can't remember which. You know, I've never even heard any reports about that ride. I feel like I might have seen like somebody like Bannister say like once that it was like okay.
Yeah.
And that was the extent of it. But Gale Force, so we'll go back over to the Jersey Shore rides here. Gale Force had a bunch of issues after it was originally constructed last year. Apparently they had to redo track pieces 3 or 4 times. They would get track pieces shipped to them, which did not fit. And ultimately it looks like it's going to open around May. It, you know, a year late, but it still looks like it's going to be probably the most interesting steel ride opening.
Go ahead. Sorry, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I think I like how it's a fresh approach on these new kind of compact coasters. I think it's, I have a feeling when they announced that, I was like, all right, this is the next ride we're going to see kind of spring up all across the country. And I think the fact that it didn't open, you know, kind of dampened that, that expansion. So I'm kind of anxious for it to open and hopefully perform well, because I could see this kind of being the next Tempesto kind of thing where it's popping up, you know, 2-3 parks a year across the country.
Yeah, in fact, the Gale Force, the video seeing it last year and hearing the sounds those cars were making going around, I can see why they did a lot of the changing. Maybe it's in the fabrication, not sure. But I'm actually more interested in the coaster that's going around it. That looks a little more interesting.
You're all about that Miler ride?
What about it?
Well, that's the ride that goes around it, the Miler coaster.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing looks really fun.
Miler has this awesome capability of building these rides that don't look like anything and end up being, like, capable of murdering entire families. And that's another one of them. You know, it could be exciting. I'm skeptical, I guess, that it will really turn out to be anything. Just because, you know, it is a smaller ride, and I should know better by now with Miler. But I'm gonna wait and see what people say about it. I'm kind of interested, but I feel like I'm definitely a bit more than Gale Force.
Yeah.
Going through some of the other items here. And a lot of water park expansions, of course. People love water park expansions. There is a new theme park opening up.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I've kind of been, you know, a lot of people are kind of making the jokes on Twitter about it. But I'm kind of looking at it going like, hey, this doesn't happen very much. Like, I don't care if it's delayed a month or so, as long as it opens, that'll be great. And I think they're doing it right. I think they're starting small. They're putting the entertainment kind of complex with it, the shopping, the dining thing. And I think they're doing it right. So I'm pretty optimistic that might not open early midsummer like they're saying, but I would say, you know, come Labor Day, I think it'll be at least doing some previews. And I think over the next few years, we'll see this continue to grow.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, just anytime new parks are opening, it's really exciting.
Have either of you been on Thunderbolt at Kona yet?
Yes.
No, I have not.
What did you guys think of that ride? I mean, they're basically getting a copy of it at OWA.
I loved it. Even though the seats aren't very comfortable, I think it's a great little ride. So it'll be nice to have one a little closer to us. I mean, the trains, I mean, with the plastic seats, they're not really conducive to that ride. Put a little padding in there, it'd be great.
You got to have your fine Italian engineering. I mean, that's how it works. If there's anything that you can't even know about Italian rides, it's that they're always like poorly engineered and garishly colored. Like those are the two things.
Yeah.
A lot of mountain coasters opening this year. You know, I remember like in 2007 when this was kind of like a new thing and it was like, oh man, Alpine coasters. And now I feel like there's six that will be in Pigeon Forge after this year. Is there really this much of a demand for mountain coasters?
So, you know, it's funny you say that because I was just in Pigeon Forge earlier this week and I actually discovered a new one that was under construction. I was like, hey, finally got to check one thing off my list of telling RCDB about a ride. So, I mean, they're popping up. I was only, and you know, I went and did one of them, this time, cause I did a couple of them before. So I did one I hadn't done and there's really no one in line. And then I tried to do another one, but it was already closed. So there was a little bit of line. I just had to think these things have to be stupid cheap to build. And they, you know, when you're charging 10, 15 bucks a pop, but you know, it just must be stupid cheap to build and people are eating them up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, I think, down here. I mean, the ones I've ridden over in Europe, they're, for the price, they're a lot better. You get a lot longer of a ride. And they think
have you
charge.
Did you do the one at Fort Fun in Germany?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that. I was there before they built that.
Oh, gotcha. Because I feel the same way. That's the only one I did in Europe, and I was like, wow, this is really awesome. You know, it's twice as long, twice as fast. You know, you see you're gonna die on every turn, and then they start popping up here, and I was like, oh, you know, there's brakes on them, they're half the cost, you know, or half as long, and it's just not as fun.
Yeah, yeah. The best ones over here, I've ridden the one in Branson last, the first one they opened, it's not a Vigen model, it's some shadier company. It's really rough, and that kind of that. Even though it was a little slow, still was kind of shady. But the one in Jamaica is fantastic. I mean, they let you tie cars together, too, so you can have a little faster.
Yeah, the Jamaica one is really good. And when they were like, they tie them together like it's something like ridiculously cheap. And you're like, do this? They're like, yeah. Like, it was, I think they like pull. That's not pull. They, I'm trying to remember how they do it. Because like, obviously, the one that's in the back has to have the braking system off. But it was something like bungee cords attached to the arms or the, you know, the braking mechanisms.
And, yeah, it was something that kept their brakes down.
Yeah, it was
or kept their brakes off.
Yeah, it was ludicrous, and I was like, "You seriously do this?" But they do, and I think that's the only one that my wife has done. For some reason, she doesn't like the Alpine coasters. I don't get into that question with her too much, but I guess in that case, it's kind of like I was the brake man. So it was like riding a scenic railway, except with underwheels. I think that's why she did that.
Right, yeah. We can get into the whole debate whether it's a credit or not later.
You know what? They're on RCDB now. So I feel like the discussion is over. Done. There's some stuff that's out there that's being built for this year that honestly nobody really knows anything about. This Glenwood Caverns drop thing that Stan Check is building. Just
anything that Stan builds, I want to ride.
It automatically sounds like it's going to be like the best thing possibly built.
Yeah, anything he builds, I want to ride. Hands down.
Yeah, no question. No question. There's also this thing at Edaville Family Theme Park called Pirate Adventure, and nobody knows what it is. No one. Like, people are like, what is it? And they're like, you just have to see.
I have a funny story about that. I know a couple of people that the park, Edaville, was actually up for sale, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a couple of years longer than that. I forget what. I actually know a few people from Orlando here that wanted to kind of start their own little management company, and they put together a proposal to try to take over the park and buy it. I remember them just like showing me all these photos, and it's like, Little Park is like, this is a park no one ever talks about, but it's kind of neat. You know, they have like this big train and everything. This park's probably something that, you know, if Pirate Adventure is good, or, you know, they get one or two, like maybe a Wooden Warriors type stuff, it could be on the map pretty fast.
Yeah, I was surprised when I was looking at pictures of it, because I remember it from a long time ago, like 15, 16 years ago, and it was a nothing park. Like, they bought rides from Whalum when Whalum went under and basically scrapped them because they didn't know what to do. And they've gotten, like, the Thomas the Tank Engine IP, and there's, like, a monorail now and all these Thomas the Tank Engine rides. And I'm like, really? Like, this, like, crappy little park in the middle of nowhere? But it's doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a Wooden Warrior or something in the next couple of years. And like I said, next thing they're the new hot park on the enthusiast map, kind of like Quasi was, three, 4 years ago.
Yeah, I like to really like root and cheer for the small park guys. You know, I remember when Holiday World was that, and, you know, when they built Raven, and that was the beginning of the Holiday World era.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because it's always so much fun. Like, you go to these small parks. I know you guys both just travel a lot as well. So I think you guys can relate. When you know, like, don't get me wrong, I like going to the Cedar Fairs, the Six Flags, and everything. But you go to these smaller parks, you know, it costs like nothing to get in, or a few bucks, you know, a couple bucks to ride the roller coaster or something. You know, beer's usually like $3 or $4. You can get like, you know, a hot dog or a burger for $2 or $3. You know, it's just like you're having such a good time, you know, that laid back. There's no like crazy like locker policies or stuff like that. You know, it's just such a good time when you go to some of these smaller parks. So yeah, I agree. I love when these little guys kind of start coming up the ranks.
It's good too, because you get sick of going to the same like 2-3 regional parks. And to get anything new is exciting. I always say that, like, and this is actually something that one of John's better friends, Richie, says, is that, you know, I'd rather have novel than good. I'd rather have something that's like different than a ride that I've been on 1,000 times. Good. I'm totally in that same thing.
Yeah, I remember. I think you were talking to Joe, Parksco Joe, about that like a couple episodes ago, or maybe a couple months ago now, where you guys kind of arguing that point. And I think that's where a lot of the, you know, not to get too sidetracked here, but I think that's where a lot of these folks on Twitter, you know, especially in the Disney realm, get caught up with that. We saw that a lot with, like, you know, when Dubai parks open, everyone's quick to jump on them for not being Universal quality or Disney quality. And I'm just looking at them going, well, that's cool. That's different. You know, I don't usually see roller, you know, indoor amusement parks like that being built, or brand new parks being built. I was looking at it going, it's kind of cool. It's different, you know, and whereas everyone else is trying to judge it to, why isn't it like Disney?
Yeah, I moved down to Florida to get away, to get to parks so I could go year round to get away from winter. But after being down here, like, Universal and Disney, they're nice and all, but, you know, what I miss is all the traditional classic little small mom and pop parks. That's why I love Fun Spot. I wish there were more parks like that down here.
Yeah.
That's a really good segue to talk about Mind Blower. Can we talk about how good Mind Blower looks?
It looks a lot more compact in person than it does like in the pictures. So I think with the height of it being roughly 80, 85 feet tall, it's going to be a little powerful ride.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, I love White Lightning, and I think that's a fantastic ride. It's kind of interesting. I don't know what your guys' perspective on it. You know, why are they going with that Gravity Group versus just going to their GCI? Is it trying to diversify themselves? Is GCI just too busy, or what? But I think it looks awesome. You know, I think it'll be like kind of a novel thing with the loop, you know, that'll kind of get people all crazy out here. They're already marketing it as such. So, I mean, I say bring it on. I hope Fun Spot keeps doing cool stuff like this.
Yeah, they're a really interesting little company down here and how they operate. And they do it right, too, unlike when Hard Rock Park opened. Like, Fun Spot's really not trying to compete against Disney or Universal. They're trying to get the people from there, but that's great because they open in the evening, like afternoon evenings, and stay open until midnight after the park's closed. So people leave in the park, look, and they see a Ferris wheel and the lights on the coaster, and they're like, hey, let's go over there. So it's nice for us, you know, because I work nights, and it's nice. I can go, and it's like my morning going in the evening over to Fun Spot, and I can just sit on White Lightning for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like you said, they're doing it right, you know, whereas, you know, I think they're going to only keep growing, you know, versus like, you know, we heard about Orlando Thrill Park and all those other kind of proposals where someone wants to come in and just build like a full fleshed out park overnight in Orlando. And I think they're doing it right by going in and building, you know, one or two rides every couple of years and kind of building it up. I think we'll just, you know, I wouldn't be surprised 5 years from now, you know, at least one of their locations is a gated park, you know, that's, you know, a full half day park.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as I see that possibly, I hope it never goes to a gated park, though, personally.
No, I completely agree.
Looks like we've been joined by another individual. Mr. Super Weedy Hut Jr., I believe, is on. That's right.
What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Wow. I got inspired and took the kids out to Carowinds, so I'm live from Carowinds right now.
There you go.
We've got people at SeaWorld Orlando with my buddy John here, and we've got you from Carowinds. So we haven't really talked about Carowinds. We briefly talked about the used rides where it's kind of gone with. What do you think of the new country fair section of the park?
It's county fair, by the way, but we'll forgive you. But
thank you.
Basically, they just dropped in 4 fair rides and really spruced up a section of the park that was a go-between. And I'm actually headed over there right now. So it's been a tortured corner of the park. They finally got some stability over there when they installed the Carolina Cobra, which is now Flying Cobra. They're giving a new paint job. Looks like they're... sorry about that. Yeah, it looks like they're sprucing up this area of the park, and it looks real nice. So happy with the way things are going here. And they tore out our Shoot the Chutes ride, so it looks like there could be stuff coming in the near future.
Like, you guys definitely at this point can like decent, some more decent water rides at that park, because that place is not exactly a cool, fresh, well-shaded theme park, right? Especially in imagination.
No, they definitely need new water rides, but we've lost everything except for Rip Roarin' Rapids, which is the tube ride, the spinning tube ride. So things are getting better, hopefully, with the rest of the park, but they've doubled down on the water park and taken out some of the traditional water rides. So we lost the Log Flume for Intimidator and lost the Rapids ride, or the Shoot the Chutes ride for this county fair expansion, which really didn't touch on that area. So I don't know if it was a pound-for-pound maintenance swap or, operating cost swap to operate these new rides or what. But it really opens up a lot of real estate in the park. So it'll be interesting to see what the next year holds.
Have you gotten on the top scan yet?
I haven't. It's been up and down. Not going to be able to do it today, but it looks intimidating.
These are
nobody gets off of it. It's like, yes, everybody's like, holy hell, what just happened to me?
So we've talked quite a bit about some of the parks and what they've gotten for this year. There's some stuff that we kind of lost from last year. To me, the biggest bummer is that Lakemont Park is not open for defensive area. When was the last time you were there, John?
Lakemont?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Probably 7 or 8 years ago.
I mean, this is probably why they're not reopening for the is because of sentiment like that. what shape was it in when you went 7 or 8 years ago?
It was okay. I mean, not the greatest, but I mean, leave the dips they were taking care of, and Skyliner was running well. It looked like it had some care to it.
Yeah, no, Skyliner's always been running well. Did you ever get there, Andrew?
I did not. I was doing a Pennsylvania trip a couple of years ago, and unfortunately, I missed it by like a week or two. They weren't open yet for the season. So I drove by. I've always wanted to go because I love baseball. So I'm like, baseball, roller coaster, kind of together. I think that's really cool. But I know we're staying close for the season. I just don't know. I don't know if I see this place coming back in the form that we know it. I know they said they're already kind of shifting to a FEC kind of model, but I mean, I could see where it's kind of like Stricker's Grove, for party rentals only, and then maybe they open a couple rides during ball games or something.
And you know what? That might be a healthy scenario for them. Honestly, it was pretty sad when I was there 2 years ago. And by pretty sad, I mean really sad, like almost tragic fear. And honestly, so when I got involved in the hobby, it was the late 90s. The first ACE event I ever went to was the Ultimate Preservation Conference, which was the year they reopened Leap the Dips. And when that ride reopened, it did nothing. And I'm sure by the time you went on it, John, it no longer did nothing. It did stop. Like,
those front wheels were coming off the track.
Yeah, I almost got seriously injured by the amount of airtime on Leap the Dips. Because it was hitting like flat track on some of these hills. Like it just warped the wood so bad. And it was some of the most intense ejector seat airtime of all time. And it was a ride that had no lap bars and no seat belts. It was just a bench.
That's crazy. So my joke is, I bet Dick Knoebel has already made a call over to Lakemont and was like, hey, are you guys really going to reopen? If not, how much money does it take to get that thing to move it down the road to my park? I bet that's my educated guess is that if Lakemont does close and they don't keep some of the roller coasters, I know they said they're going to, but I could definitely see at least one of them, especially Leap the Dips, getting a second life, you know, down the road per se at Knoebels.
Yeah, I see Leap the Dips going somewhere. Knoebels would be a perfect fit for it. But I mean, if they did an open gate policy, especially with the baseball games, that like kids can run around over there to ride the coaster if they're born with the game, that would be great.
Yeah, that seems like a really ideal scenario, actually, and I would love to see them go in that direction. Some other stuff that closed, obviously, big water park stuff that closed. The remnants of Geauga Lake, Wet n Wild Orlando, both gone. You know, obviously, John, you were from the Akron, Cleveland area. Have you just kind of accepted that it was dead some time ago and moved on, or were you still like, this sucks?
I'm still like, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's somewhere I grew up with. The way it was done, I think, pulled out from under our feet without really knowing or anything. I think that's what the hardest part was.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, I went to school, college up in Cleveland. So, I'd actually take the city bus over to Geauga Lake or whatever it was called at the time. This was just after the Six Flags era, and I try to get some rides over there. And I think it unfortunately got too big for itself. But I mean, I think it's just like that was I think if it was given a second chance, if someone came in and did it right, I think Cedar Fair still tried to run it as too big of a park. I think it's still kind of hard to see that some of the rides are just sitting there still. Or I guess Big Dipper finally came down, but sitting there for, you know, 8-9 years later.
Others here ended up seeing closed. Of course, the Hurler at King's Dominion has been closed since 2015. Main Street closed down last year. It's pretty obvious both are going to be going to Rocky Mountain coasters. Especially Mean Street, because it's already seemingly halfway there. A little surprised they're running the RMC rides this year. How excited is everyone about the new Mean Street?
Man, new Mean Street, I think new Mean Street, you know, fanboy, I'm a Cedar Point fanboy at heart, so I think that's top of my list. And, you know, all these photos, whether they're leaked or not, or however they're getting out on the internet. I'm psyched. I think if they're this far along and we got still a year to go, I'm hoping it's just going to have every trick and be long. I think that's going to be my main judgment of it. Like, this better be a long ride. I think that's what's really going to make or break it.
Yeah, if they do what they did with Twisted Colossus, because Twisted Colossus is fantastic. I would love to see, because they're hearing the rumors about it dueling now, but I don't know how much stock I'd put into that, but that would be a great way to go.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Or even if it's not dueling, if you kind of get one lap through it and then like a second lap that's only maybe like halfway through or something. I think something just so like, that's why I really like New Texas Giant. I think that's where my favorite RMCs at the moment, just because it's really long, you kind of get a full bang for your buck versus some of the other ones, which are great, you know, but they're just on the shorter side.
Yeah. Although like Texas Giant, since they took it out, I mean, I like the new Texas Giant, but I missed the ending. It doesn't feel like it still has that same powerful ending that just left you you know, going, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, no, completely agree.
Do many of the RMCs really have that kind of ending? Like even with Lightning Rod.
Lightning Rod does.
Okay, maybe. Right.
Yeah.
It's got the
quote. Yeah.
The last, I'm just thinking of it like, it has a really big, like, uphill portion into the last drop. But the last drop is, like, curving 90, like, 60, 70 degrees, some ridiculous angle, and huge. So I'll just take that. I'll walk that one back. Yeah, I guess Lightning Rod. At this point, Lightning Rod is almost like a new for 2010 ride because it operated so poorly.
Yeah, but it won the golden ticket.
Isn't that convenient? How nice of them to hand the ride that barely worked the golden ticket for best motion.
Yeah. I mean, if I would have voted after November last year, yeah, I would have got golden ticket best new ride, at least in my book.
I would probably be with you. It's definitely, it's way up there. It's, that ride is so absurd, so complete.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah, the last 10 seconds of the ride is just mayhem.
Try to think what else there was. So basically, the water parks, like, you know, we mentioned those earlier. A couple flat rides that end up going away. Oh, I guess this brings us to one thing that we haven't talked about at all. Hershey Park gets rid of their Husk Condor, and I believe it opened up yesterday, was the new Triple Tower.
Yeah, I would say this is a little, it's great to see a SNS drop tower. I mean, I love those things. I'm surprised they kind of disappeared after, you know, they were, seemed like they were popping up every year for a while there, and then they kind of just disappeared for a while. So it's good to see that they're being built. I just, I'm not sure I fully understand the three different levels. I think I would have went at kind of different height intervals. I would have maybe done like a frog hopper of 20, 30 feet, you know, and then maybe one that's like, you know, 50 feet or so, and then like a 300 foot one. I'm not quite sure. I fully understand the point of the middle one that's like that 100 foot one. So I'm not sure exactly how the three will all work out. But it's good to see SNS drop towers kind of getting built again, because those are pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a ride that, you know, Hershey Park has been missing, like a free fall tower or a space shot or something. Yeah, but the three tower thing, that's kind of weird to me. I have a feeling the tall one's always going to have the long line. So maybe the other ones, if you just want a quick ride, you could run and hit that real quick. But yeah, the three, it's kind of weird to me.
It's at least an inventive idea, though I tend to think it's probably a really dumb one. But again, it comes down to the whole, I'd rather have like weird and different than maybe like three identical towers.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No, I'm really interested to see how it works, like with the queue and where people are going and everything. You know, it might be jackpot, you know, they could hit a home run on this.
It'd be funny to see like a whole bunch of other parks end up building like side by side by side different SNS towers after building them, putting like roofs and stuff over. And also, it was funny because I remember looking them up afterwards. I was like, don't they have a frog hopper? And then they have like side to or back to back frog hoppers. So it's like five drop towers in the same park.
Yeah.
Dollywood is also getting a drop tower, which is another ride, another park that really, really loved. And it also fills a space that was kind of left by the Topple Tower. The Funtime ride, so it's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I was at Dollywood earlier this week, and the ride looks really good. And I would say I love Dollywood, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it needs a few more rides, maybe even non-roller coaster rides, to really round out its collection and make it a full-day kind of ride park. And I think doing a drop tower is like the perfect ride that is kind of needed there. You know, great views, and like I said, I think it helps really round out the collection of rides and gives you something to do in between crazy lightning rod rides.
Yeah, and it, for years after the Topple Tower was taken out, you looked at it and you were like, that's a perfect place for one.
I'm still smarting over whatever's in the background from John's phone.
Is that like, yeah, let me apologize about that.
Floating into flame?
Yeah. You just say that.
Poor SeaWorld. I mean, like, I have my own opinions about the orca captivity thing, but, man, they get drubbed on the last couple of years.
Yeah, they have, and they're going a completely different direction. And
I'm working for them, but, you know, I don't know what else they can do at this
point. Yeah, they're trying, they're working hard, but, I mean,
if those orcas really knew like what they're doing and how many animals they saved due to the rescue and everything, I'm sure they'd be like, yeah, I'll stay here in this little tiny pool. If you look at the big picture of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, there is a certain expense to the animals in captivity, but there's also a definite value to all the work that they've done.
Yeah.
In rescue. It's really hard to quantify.
I mean, they were just an easy target, I think, also, because look at how many zoos there are in this world and everything. And nothing said about a lot of these places. But, of course, SeaWorld's the ones targeted.
I mean, they're kind of like the big dogs, and I can see why people would target them. I wish as much of the sort of vitriol went towards Marineland in Canada, because I've never heard anything good about it, ever. Like, even people that are in the industry that have told me about Marineland and they're...
Yeah.
And it's not like SeaWorld does legitimately good things, and whereas Marineland is like run by this whole circus guy that like drives people to suicide. So, you know, if you want to attack SeaWorld, please attack Marineland Canada instead. Please go after them. Like, someone needs to go after them. So to get away from the parks thing for a little bit, because I think we've pretty much touched everything that's really big in the U.S. I have to ask John for some stories, because you were security at Disney.
Yes, I was.
And you had like an interesting like way. Like, I, you know, obviously I met you a while ago. You're a dude that lived in Ohio and liked integrity and hardcore bands, which naturally led to you becoming a federal law enforcement agent.
Right. You know, they go side by side.
And then you end up working at Walt Disney World in security. What is that experience like, A? B, anything particularly hilarious, bizarre, crazy, dangerous?
The cool thing about working there was I got to go to a lot of backstage areas that people don't get to see. So I got to see a lot of things, which is really nice, but obviously takes away from the magic. But it was just a need to fill a job to get down here. The craziest thing I ever saw was one of the New Year's Eve nights. There was a family that wanted to get into the area to see the fireworks, and there's tape on the ground, and the college students that all stand around and keep people out of there. This girl was asking this family to stay in there. I didn't see it, but I got called over to it right after it happened. But the father slugged this girl and put her on the ground. So by the time I got over to the person, the guy had gone, and as soon as the family seen me, they all took off running through the crowd. So I'm trying to follow them, but it's so busy, I couldn't catch up with them. So I just took that girl that just got hit by that guy. And so we had everybody looking for these people, but we never found them in the sea of the horde of people.
What is with people at Walt Disney World just like up and slugging human beings over nothing? Like, didn't somebody just get choked because their head was in the way at a fireworks show or something?
Oh, you know what? With having a pass there and as much as I've gone now, the ugliness that comes out in people at Disney is amazing. You know, people are supposed to be there to have a good vacation, and they turn into ugly people.
Try to think of what else I can ask you aside from like just like questions of like random fights that break out.
Fights, you know, people get sick and everything. What's interesting now is I'm a supervisor in security at Celebration Hospital, which is the hospital most Disney people get sent to. So if somebody passes away or they're at Disney, you know, and they're having a heart attack, they come to us, to our like emergency room, and they code them and everything there. So I get to see like who comes from Disney, which is kind of interesting. And it's amazing the people that, you know, spend the whole winter doing nothing, you know, they're 50, 60 years old, out of shape. And they come down with their family and they try to keep up with their children or grandchildren going around these parks. It ends up killing them. And you would not be surprised how many people that happens to.
That's kind of sad. It's like in 1,000 levels.
It is very sad. I mean, it's crazy, but I mean, Disney's just so big and they're not used to humidity and everything. And people don't take that into consideration when they come on vacation. And they try just to do so much and pack so much into their vacations. Just turns tragic for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like 65 and you have a bad heart to begin with, and you're going to Magic Kingdom from 8 a.m. until 1 o'clock in the morning, Like,
right.
That's a rough situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been around the family when they're like, they said, I told you we shouldn't have brought dad. He wasn't ready to, you know, come down here. And it's truly tragic.
Well, this is like the worst advertisement for Orlando that we possibly could have done, with the exception of Fun Spot, which everyone loves.
I mean, just the name for the new ride.
Is it a better or worse name than Boulder Dash?
No, Boulder Dash is fine. I have no issue with Boulder Dash compared. Because at least there's like boulders. You're going by boulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no mine.
They are building tunnels right now on it, though.
There you go.
But still, I mean, whose is mine and who are they blowing? That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, poor choice of a name for a ride. But I'm sure it'll be a good ride.
Sat there and wrote them all on a grease board, and then someone was like, you know what, that one. That's the one people...
Well, they had a contest, actually, on Facebook.
Well, they did.
And people could submit their names. I just submitted Gator because I thought that would just fit perfectly.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But
mind blowing. Hey, oh my God! God bless them. It's huge. Where are the other two?
Best day ever.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. What's with Central Orlando and like all these local businesses having like ridiculous taglines? Like, was it Family Auto Mart and? What's the furniture, or not furniture place, the appliances, Appliance Direct.
Yeah, Appliance Direct.
If you didn't buy direct, you paid too much.
You're right. Yeah, that dude's crazy.
Why is it, there seems to be like this sort of like center of the universe of very bad, like one-liners. It all seems to filter into Central Florida. I don't know what that says about the area or what.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is down here. It's crazy.
In summation as we go ahead and close it out here, John, would you ever suggest working for Walt Disney?
In security?
Yeah.
I would say if you're retired and you're getting a pension, yeah. You wanted a free pass. You know, that's my feeling. Just like anything at Disney, it's underpaid. I mean, for the amount of work people do and the amount of work you put in, the hours, I mean, you're way underpaid. And that's just the way the industry is down here.
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty consistent issue that everyone mentions, is the pay is completely garbage.
Yeah, but it's amazing the people who are just dedicated to Disney and just don't care. I mean, I personally couldn't understand it, but there's people who they're into it so much that they could care less.
Yeah, they don't have. I mean, they don't have to pay. I know friends who work there that are, you know, with that. This couple of years ago, they would complain that Disney doesn't pay me enough. Disney doesn't pay me enough. I'd be like, well, you know, you're doing XYZ. I see a job opening for XYZ at a different company. You go do that. No, I can't leave Disney. Okay, well, that's why you're not getting paid enough, because no one wants to leave.
I mean, I get that there's not like a free annual pass that you get to go to a theme park when you work at Applebee's instead. But, you know, there's ultimately this thing called eating and paying rent that people have to do. And,
right.
You know, I don't know if I'm impressed with the dedication to not do it, to not go outside of Disney, or it depresses me. It's somewhere in that range.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the years I worked at Cedar Point, you know, back in the early 90s, and then working here at Disney again and everything. I mean, I personally would rather stay out of working in the theme park industry because it's my hobby and I love it. When I work there, it takes away from that for me. So, I mean, I'm glad I'm out of Disney. I mean, for that reason. I mean, if I got paid well, you know, I don't know if I would have stayed, because it's just, you get tired of going to the parks and you get jaded.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. I even felt it myself doing parks back in the day. At some point, I think like once I was done working at Compounds in 04, like I pretty much didn't do anything the next year park-wise, because I was just like burnt out. I had been in amusement parks for entire summers for like 5 straight years. I was ready to do anything.
Yeah, it took me a good like 5-6 years before I could enjoy going back to Cedar Point. I mean,
that's actually pretty much my exact same time frame. Because I left in 2003 and I didn't go back until 2007. So yeah, right around that same amount. You know, and I love it now. I love going there, but yeah, it's a different thing when you work at and that's what you see for your job. I guess it's kind of the idea of like, if you do something that you love, it's never really work until it ends up actually becoming work, which is the part that...
Yeah, until it actually is work.
Yeah, it actually is work. You know, it's like, oh, that's like, yeah, you get to do amazing things in parks. And like some of those amazing things include like picking gum out of bushes at 2 o'clock. Like, it's not quite as nice as my office, I have to be honest. I like my office now. I like my nameplate. I like my phone. I like all those things. I like the laptop that I'm using right now that was given to me by my... I would recommend to anybody that wants to work in theme parks, before you actually see it, consider the alternatives, which are all of them, every other job in the world.
Yeah, I like having a job that's completely opposite of theme, because, you know, when I go to theme parks, I'm just so much more happier to be there. I think that's an added to it also. You know, it makes it someplace where, like, when I'm at my job, I'm like, oh, I want to be there.
Yeah.
All right. So real quick, what's everyone's most ride that they're most excited for in the regional park scene coming this year?
Mystic Timbers.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with that. I think it's looking better and better every time I see a photo or a video of it. So I think that's going to be a good winner.
Yeah, it looks like a little bit taller of a prowler. It looks like, yeah, they're going to hit a home run with that.
Yeah, we actually, now that I think about it, we haven't really talked about the GCIs too much. I guess we should, might as well close out with those because they're the biggest rides going in. Mystic Timbers looks really good. Look at the POV of Invader at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. It looks like a really solid ride all the way around. Kind of like a terrain version of White Lightning. GCI's gotten a lot better since like the 1990s. Like a lot better.
Yeah.
All I know is what they did on Ghost Rider. Hopefully they can keep doing that with Park Ride make new rides.
Yeah, I was going to say, I rode Ghost Rider a couple months after they did whatever they did last year. And I mean, that was incredible. And I think I remember reading they used some kind of new wood or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what that all means, but whatever they did, it was fantastic. It was an incredible ride.
Yeah, I honestly want to put it back towards my top 10 wood. I mean, it was that good.
Yeah, it really was. I completely agree with that.
And there's plenty of rides in the Cedar Point or Cedar Fair sort of set that they can work with. Obviously, they're doing Wildcat at Lake Compounds this year, which they can only improve that ride dramatically. Like, there's pretty much nothing that they can do to screw it up. But, you know, I think about something like Timberwolf, for instance. And
GCI. Please don't RMC that. Please GCI it.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be so much better. So much better. or High Roller would be another one. You know, it's kind of, it'd be kind of weird. Two GCIs in the same park, but still, just do that right too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're just about done here. How can we reach you, Andrew?
I am on Twitter. The best way to find me is on Twitter. I don't have a website or a blog or anything like that. So Twitter @ online Hyde is like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, so it's online Hyde.
And John, you don't have a blog either. You have a Facebook. That's about it.
I have a Facebook, and it's lowercase RUEL500. So it's Rule 500.
And I hope that both of you guys have a great time in Mexico. And
thanks.
We'll have you guys back on afterwards so we can talk about that trip, because I will be very interested to hear all the takes. I've heard Capapultec. I've heard is horribly run, but it looks like it has the best ride. So I just need to know. I need to hear good things.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
All right. Sure. Yeah. Look forward to seeing you down there, Andrew.
Yeah. I'll see you in a few. I'll see you in like 10 days here or so.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Alan. Thanks for having